Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this beginning of Advent is from our Gospel. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. How much of life is shaped by duty and responsibility? Perhaps that's a question best posed to those of us who have been around for a little while. For the young, life may seem shaped more by milestones and entertainment. But there comes that season in life when I imagine most would agree that responsibility and duty seem to define most days. So it surely must have been for Zechariah. He'd been born into a priestly lineage, and so his life was largely prescribed from early on. Once he came of age, he was assigned to one of the teams who would rotate through in service in the temple, offering sacrifices and burning incense, representing the prayers of the people. It was the rhythm of life for God's people. But still an honor for the priest assigned to that particular day. He would enter the holy place, a place set aside inside the larger temple for this sacred ritual, while the people would remain gathered outside, awaiting the completion of that faithful duty and then to receive the benediction of the priest. It was the rhythm of Zechariah's life for many, many, many years. Until one day, this familiar routine of life is shockingly interrupted. An angel of the Lord appears in the solitude of that holy place, and Zechariah, like everyone who encounters someone from heaven, he is terrified, Scripture tells us, overwhelmed by fear. No priestly training prepares one to meet a messenger of God face to face. And in that solitude, Zechariah heard the Lord's promise spoken audibly, directly to him. He saw the messenger. This wasn't even a dream. And even so, the promise was outlandish, impossible. The promise of a son. A son with a clearly ordained purpose. But how? His age and the age of his wife were undeniable. Those years had long passed. And so, Zechariah, faithful old Zechariah, like faithful old Abraham, who had also been promised a son centuries before, wondered aloud. "How will I know this is so? I'm old. My wife is old." Could anyone blame him for his doubts? Who among us wouldn't have asked the same question in that moment? But his doubts do not interrupt God's plan. For nothing interrupts God's plan. God's plan will be fulfilled, but Zechariah's doubts burden his own life. "Because you did not believe my words," Gabriel declares, "you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." And so it is. Mute, he leaves the holy place, unable to bless the people, unable to explain what just happened inside. Zechariah's routine of duty and responsibility has been shockingly interrupted, first by this extraordinary word from heaven itself, and second by his own doubt. And here we leave Zechariah, mute, wondering, waiting. Now, of course, we know what happened to him and Elizabeth. We know that John was born But this is just the beginning of Advent. And perhaps it is worthwhile for us to spend some time imagining what it must have been like for Zechariah to wait in utter silence for so long. As he left the temple that day, he had no idea how long it would be before this promise from God might be fulfilled. Imagine the total isolation of Zechariah in his day, because in our day, half of our communication seems to be done in silence. We use various keyboards and apps. We send electronic notes and texts and grams and tweets and whatever else. Not then. Not in his day. In his day, there wasn't even a handy pad of paper and a pencil on which you could scribble a thought. And even if there were, almost no one outside the learned class of priests could read and write. A few rudimentary hand gestures would be all there was for him to try to communicate for at least 9 months. That is silence. Imagine yourself consigned to such a prolonged period of silence. For you also have heard the promise of God as spoken through his word. You have heard the testimony of those who are witnesses to how God fulfilled his promise in Christ. And in the waters of baptism, you were called by name. You have heard the promise of our Lord that even the very hairs on your head are numbered. You have heard the report of our Lord who said that he would be with you until the end. And as you confess and celebrate again today that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the very Holy Spirit of God is at work in your life right now. And yet, do you not wonder at times what the Lord's plan is? Don't we all ask, what's ahead for me? And maybe you too expect some proof of how the Lord will fulfill his plan for your earthly life. You may well be content that your heavenly future is assured, and I pray that you are. And yet we are still so very focused on the here and now. What comes next, we wonder. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the specifics of your life are in the days to come, and I don't know the same of my own for that matter. But do we so quickly leave the shadow of thanksgiving that we forget to hold in view the overwhelming blessings that our Lord has poured out on each and every one of us? Look around. God could hardly be more clear to us that he keeps his promises than if Gabriel himself stood among us and declared it to be so. Still, we doubt whether God is faithful. In the face of doubt, Zechariah was forced to stop talking. Perhaps so he could better listen to God. Perhaps so he could pray without distraction to better meditate on the promises of God. Perhaps to restore his humility before God. For even this man, whose walk before God is called blameless in Scripture, needed to learn again to trust without proof on his own terms. What if you were rendered mute every time you doubted the Lord? How much of your life would be spent in silence? Now, thankfully, our Lord does not deal with human doubts like ours by silencing our voices. Nevertheless, I would encourage each of us this Advent to stop talking. Not entirely, of course, but intentionally. Intentionally to set aside some additional time throughout this season to be completely silent. Turn everything off so there are no excuses to just check real quick for that text or tweet or whatever. Take in hand and open up an actual printed copy of God's Word and let it wash over you in silence. For Jesus made clear there is a time to go into your room and shut the door and pray. Meditate in silence on the abundant blessings that God has already revealed in your life. Consider again what it truly means to you that the very Son of God has come to earth for your sake. For consider another scene from the pages of Scripture. About 30 years after the promise to Zechariah, this one not in the holy place of the temple, this one in the courts of the governor. Jesus before Pilate. And he is silent. He is silent in the face of false accusations and even the threat of execution. He offers no proof of his innocence. No proof that he is the very Son of the Almighty, the Messiah upon whom the people have been waiting for centuries, and yet could not or would not recognize. He, who never doubted the plan of God the Father, stands in silence. By human logic, he should have declared his innocence and left you wallowing in your own guilt. He should have demonstrated himself to be the Holy One, the one who could call upon legions of men like Gabriel to come down and defeat any foe or accuser. He should have left you to fend for yourself, even though you have really nothing to say in your own defense. But such logic is merely human. Instead, Jesus was silent and bore a burden greater than any man ever had or ever will. He carried the burden of our doubts to the cross. He was silent so that you will one day have voice to praise God in the eternal kingdom of heaven alongside Gabriel and all the saints who have gone before us in the faith. That plan of God, your own salvation, will be fulfilled when the time is right. Fear not. God's plan is not interrupted by our momentary doubt. It will be fulfilled according to his will. Instead, we bear the burden of our doubt. We forfeit the peace of God when our focus is solely upon what we can see and supposedly prove. Therefore, We need to go back to the silence and listen. Listen to God's word. Listen to his extraordinary love for you poured out in his word. And in that silence, we also pray. Pray for courage and clarity to face whatever is ahead in your life. God knows that plan too, and it shall faithfully be fulfilled. Amen. And may the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds assured of that love of Christ Jesus throughout this season of Advent and always. Amen.